Scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9, which can be found on page 1179 in the Pew Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. But mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sin and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires, always learning but never able to acknowledge the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so also these men opposed the truth, men of depraved minds who, as far as faith is concerned, are rejected. But they will not get very far because, as in the case of those men, their folly will be clear to everyone. Here ends the scripture reading, and I invite you to rise as you're able as we sing together number 487, Peace, Perfect Peace.
One of the blessings of having Buffy pick out the hymns, she continues to choose hymns that I've never heard of before. It's a good challenge, I know. And if you look at 487 in the hymnal, the first five verses, those opening words are each questions. And so the second part of the stanza is the response, is the answer to those questions. And that aspect of peace, perfect peace, really is at the root of the message today, I hope. been challenged both by a few people and by the Spirit of the Lord to try and do some different things with sermon time. So if you have been at a Wednesday evening Lenten service, sometimes an Advent evening Sunday service, I offer a teaching lesson. So I'm not up there, I'm down here. I don't have a full script, I have an outline and I have notes, and I trust that I'll have self-control of not going too far off of the outline I have, but it is also participatory. So I will be asking some rhetorical questions that I'm not really looking for an answer, but I'll ask some other questions where I'll ask for input from you, and then we'll see how that takes us off. But we'll try to come back to the Word. See if this has ever happened to you. When you're at the pizza buffet, and you've already had enough to eat, and you're remembering how good that last piece of Meat Lover's pizza tasted, but you stay in your seat. That is self-control. When you're trying to decide to stay, whether to stay up late and play video games or surf the internet or finish that book, knowing full well that you have to be up early the next morning, it's self-control that sends you to bed at your normal time. When you're tempted to watch a TV special, instead of reading your daily Bible devotional, it is self-control that moves you to turn off the TV or power down your computer. Self-control is the ability to choose wisely. Not necessarily is self-control about choosing what you want to do, but self-control is the ability to choose wisely. And if we are going to put our hope in heaven, we need to make wise choices. And such wisdom comes from strengthening our biblical knowledge and our spiritual relationship with Christ. So the first question, what challenges you in your self-control? What challenges you in life that challenges your self-control? Anybody care to share? Chocolate? A lot of head shakes there. What challenges your self-control? Candy? Whew. Ryan, gonna say Oreos? What challenges your self-control?
Watching too much TV of trains.
Watching too much, that's specific. Watching too much TV of trains. The difference between want and needs.
Playing too many games on my iPad.
Playing too many games on the iPad. So self-control about what are we doing with our time? Is it entertainment? Is it productive? The issue of self-control. Galatians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21. Talks about the acts of the flesh, and that the acts of the flesh are obvious and can be overwhelming around us and within us. So Galatians 5:17. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So we have the acts of the flesh, the acts of the sinful nature in conflict with the ways of the Lord. And then we come into Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and the ninth one, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. So a believer who has been convicted by the Holy Spirit, by the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, the sinful life, the temptations, that has been set apart from us. We have been set apart from them. The sinful nature has been crucified with its passions and its desires. But we are still living in the last days. We still have all those temptations out there, and none of us are perfect. Or anybody that's perfect, raise your hand. Oh. And so we face these, even though we believe in Jesus Christ as Lord, we still face this. And so we have to exercise self-control. The fruit of the Spirit is opposite from the acts of the flesh. So that list, that's what we stay away from. My doctor has given me a list of things I have to stay away from. And we'll come back to that maybe. The fruit of the Spirit can always help us conquer the acts of the flesh. We can't conquer it on ourselves. We have to rely on the Spirit's presence in our lives. And the Spirit has one work to do in all of us. These are not the gifts of the Spirit that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians. These are not the gifts. Those gifts are distributed individually, that we don't all have the same spiritual gifts, but in the life of the church and the congregation, collectively, we will have those gifts. But the fruit of the Spirit is meant for all Christians. All nine of the fruit we are each to develop within ourselves through the presence of the Spirit. The word fruit in Galatians 5:22, it's singular. There's no S. It's not a series of fruit, but that we have them all. What Paul is talking about is a cluster. So I just finished eating all the grapes in the house last night. I was eating cluster after cluster of grapes. They're all hanging from the same vine. The fruit, all nine fruit, they're supposed to be a cluster that we each have. Each of us is to develop self-control within us. Is there self-control in the world? Does the world describe itself in excess? I tend to watch some baseball games these days, and I've never bet online. I don't know anything about it. I just like the screen that shows, the ad that shows up with the three parlays for the day, and you know, you got to have this many runs and that many hits, and then a little while later, there'll come on a screen, you know, if you're gambling too much, here's what you call. That's that conflict. You can't have both, but it's out there, and there's a little bit of an excess in that. There's a little bit of an excess, you know, we'll get back to that. In the world, and we live in the world, there's lots of things that is done out of control, and we are called to live in self-control. Proverbs 25:16. Not necessarily it starts with a good image, but not, the ending word's not really helpful. Well, it's helpful, but not necessarily good to think about. Proverbs 25:16, if you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, you will vomit. Pretty plain. If you find honey, eat just enough. Too much of it, and then you will vomit. Maybe if you were a high school or college wrestler back in the 70s and the 80s, you might know enough about this. Sometimes if you had to cut weight, you wouldn't eat regularly for a couple of days, and an hour before every match, you had to step on the scale, and the refs were there, and if you didn't make weight, you didn't wrestle. So you really had to cut and be careful. And then as soon as you were weighed in, you could go back and eat. And in my day, it just meant you opened up the honey jar and you just poured it in there. And you had instant energy. According to my mother, the dietitian, that's a fallacy, but it worked for me. Except if you had too much, you were a little bit sluggish out there on the mat, and the coach outlawed it after that. We were still sneaky. If you find honey, eat just enough. Well, being a proverb, that instruction isn't just about honey. It's about self-control and knowing when enough is enough. When is enough enough? It's about recognizing when you've had enough of something and you're able to stop. Someone in the church, a group of people in the church, gave Lynn and I a gift certificate to the Chinese buffet in Napoleon. I don't know, did I take you there once? I don't know. But I've been using that gift certificate, and I've been whittling it down. Yeah, surprise to her. You never know when on those Tuesdays and Thursdays when you're not home for lunch. Chinese buffet. It's the best food for me in the world. And I can go for three or four plates. But 8 weeks ago, I was instructed by my doctor about certain counts. I still have money on the gift certificate. I can't waste it. So now I'm down to one or two plates. And I can admit that when I had three or four, I didn't go away feeling very good. My taste buds were pleased. But now with just one or two, boy, I feel pretty good. And of course, the important part is before I go, I've already walked that 2 mile stretch over there in Oaklawn, Oakwood Park. It's a great place to walk, but not when it's underwater. But it's not just about food. It's about any activity that we engage in. We can read a book too much that we have not spent time with family. We can watch too much TV. We can play too many video games. We can talk on the phone too much. We can even exercise too much. We can work too much. We have to know when enough is enough. The very next verse, Proverbs 25:17. I had to alert my neighbors. They, all four of them, showed up this morning. I have in bold here, be careful. Your neighbors might be present. And they were, so I called them out. But Proverbs 25:17, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house. Too much of you, and he will hate you. It was fun comments as they left the sanctuary this morning. Because one of them just likes to pop over in the back, and they're always so sorry that they're intruding, but they never are. They never overstayed. But we're not just talking about food, we're talking about our habits. Does this mean that visiting your neighbor is a bad thing? Not at all. A visit to your neighbor is a good thing, but a wise person will know when they have overstayed their welcome. And they leave before that happens. You are exercising wise self-control. I exercise wise self-control when I look at my watch. Because a teaching lesson normally is 45 minutes long, and I try to condense it here on a Sunday morning. So I bounce around to see what I want to say next. Self-control is the discipline of delaying impulse or gratification for a greater purpose or cause. When we exercise self-control, we're saying no for the sake of a bigger and better yes. If you paid attention to the words that the junior choir was singing, God is great. He is great. You clap your hands so it helps you remember those kind of things. We can never have enough God. But we can spend too much studying the scriptures if we're not out doing the rest of what God calls us to do. I used to be a chairperson of a pastor parish relations committee at a church, and I got active in the church when we were down at camp, and I kind of got on this committee not knowing what it was about, and soon I got elected the chairperson. It was kind of a couple of years. And the pastor loved to study, but he wasn't making the calls on hospitals and in those kind of things. And I know the challenge that is, and I'm working very hard to correct that this year, but study was too much because there's so many other things in the aspect of ministry that we have to do. So it's not just, I mean, there's many good things that we do, but we have to control ourselves to make sure that we're taking care of everything God wants us to take care of. To deal with self-control, it begins by being honest with yourself. Where, and this is a rhetorical question, do not shout this out. Where in my life, what area of my life do I need to exercise self-control? And if you can figure out that, you can tell your parents later, when you figure out that area of self-control, work on it. Pray about it. Find scripture about it. Self-control is throughout the scriptures. But be honest with yourself. I was fooling myself for 20 years that I could eat anything I wanted. I was going to live until God took me from this earth, and I didn't really care when. And so I could just eat. You know, someone talked, I don't know where this came up, maybe I've already said it. You know, a pack of Oreos, I guess I said it. You eat the whole row. I'd eat the whole pack between here and Toledo Hospital. I love cookies. And it wasn't a big deal. I was still active. I could do everything. I exercised a little bit less because of back and knee and all that kind of good stuff, but the doctor came down hard. And, you know, I always perspired so much when I was preaching that I had to carry hankies in my pockets. I'm not doing that anymore. That cholesterol pill and low carb and exercise, wow, has it affected me drastically physically. And when you feel better about that, boy, it's helping me know more about the Word. I know self-control. Self-control was put into the scriptures and into my sermon rotation long before I was on this diet. But maybe it's a God thing. Self-control through the Spirit can help us overcome any problem, any addiction. Chocolate, yeah, that's huge. That's what I was doing. But yet, I feel a whole lot better, and I don't have to buy new clothes. And then, since my neighbors were here, I shared this. Can you go to the next screen, Kelly, like you said? Huh, what are those? I didn't make this connection until Kelly spoke about it. If you drive down my road, there's some excellent green lawns that have no dandelions in them whatsoever. I had Seeker small group over last Sunday night, and I knew one of the farmers was going to say something. And sure enough, Mark Knopfsinger pointed out all the weeds, all those dandelions. Hi, Mark. I only call people out if I know you real well. Dandelions. I have had the weed and feed in my shed for 3 years, and I read the instructions. It's not, the dew is not heavy enough. It's going to rain tomorrow. I can't do it. Well, I did it on Monday morning. I had everything ready to go, even when, you know, Seekers was going to come, and I spread it. And 2 days later, I look, and part of the dandelions are all shriveled up. It worked, but there's still a ton of dandelions in the yard. Why didn't it get them all? Well, you read the instructions. You got to do this in the fall and in the spring. And 30 days after you apply, you can do more. Why are you talking about? And Kelly, hey, dandelions are on there. When, I didn't see that. A lesson. Self-control doesn't just happen. And exercising self-control once isn't good enough. It has been pressed upon me that my diet has changed forever. My devotion of Scripture has been changed forever. Because just like you have to keep feeding or weed killing those dandelions to get rid of them, we have to exercise self-control all the time in every phase of life. Self-control is the ninth one listed in the fruit of the Spirit. I wanted to start there, because on the 5th and the 12th, we'll look at two other fruit of the Spirit. But this day, let us exercise self-control by inviting the Spirit into our lives. Amen.
I have heard how Christians long ago were brought before a tyrant's throne. They were told that he would spare their lives if they would renounce the name of Christ. But one by one, they chose to die. The Son of God they would not deny. Like a great angelic choir sings, I can almost hear their voices swing. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. Now the years have come and the years have gone, and the cause of Jesus still goes on. Now our time has come to count the cost, to reject this world, to embrace the cross. And one by one, let us live our lives for the one who died to give us life. Till the trumpet sounds on the final day, let us proudly stand and boldly say, I pledge allegiance to the Lamb with all my strength, with all I am. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb, to the Lamb of God, who bore my pain, who took my place, who wore my shame. I will seek to honor his commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. With all my strength, with all I am, I will seek to honor His commands. I pledge allegiance to the Lamb. I pledge allegiance to the
I invite you to rise for the benediction. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, that you may have hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
And we'll close by singing verse 2 of number 294, Set My Soul Afire.